In our exploration of the book of Luke during the month of August, we have been studying Jesus through both his chronological journey to Jerusalem and his metaphorical journey to bring about the kingdom of God. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at how the gospel of Luke portrays Jesus, and we've used words like countercultural and anti-establishment to describe his ministry to those marginalized by society. Clearly, Jesus wants to lift up those in society that culture values less. The widows, the orphans, the ill, and the weak. Today, our scriptures take us one step closer to Jesus getting to Jerusalem, which of course also means that we are one step closer to bringing about the kingdom of God as well. Today, we meet Jesus in the synagogue. He is there as a guest leader. Listen to what happens in the scripture as he goes about teaching the people. This is Luke 13, 10 through 17. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, but not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. What I love most about this miracle story is that there are three clear archetypal characters, and each of them can teach us something about the coming of the kingdom of God. First, there is the bent over woman. She has no name. She doesn't need one. She represents all people who are crippled with illness, who are in need of healing. She is every one of us in some way. Broken, seized by infirmity, bent by the weight of the burden. And Jesus touches her and she is freed. She responds as any person of faith would do. She praises the Lord. She stands up straight and immediately starts praising God for the miracle in her life. She is an archetype for how we should respond as Christians to God's redemptive love in our lives. We should stand and praise God. The second character in the story is the synagogue leader. He is an archetype of a different type of faith. He is an achiever, a rule follower, maybe even a type A personality that wants to get it right. He is unsettled by what Jesus does in performing the miraculous healing of the woman. It is important to remember, though, that he was following God here, too. His vision of God comes straight from the book of Deuteronomy, which says it is unlawful to work on the Sabbath. He is trying to follow God's rule, so we shouldn't be too critical with him. He is just following what he has been taught. He just doesn't have the larger vision of the kingdom that Jesus does. Unfortunately, the synagogue leader has been taught a set of religious rules that have been manipulated over time to be self-serving to the religious leaders. They were not necessarily enacted in the way that they were originally given to the people. The rules originally meant one thing, but over time have come to be used a different way. And then there's Jesus, the radical. Jesus is the third archetype because he is the catalyst that is bringing freedom and liberation here. Let's think about how Jesus is causing a shift in the culture with this seemingly innocent miracle performed to heal a woman who had suffered for 18 years. Jesus, as the teacher in the synagogue, would have been seated front and center. In her deformed condition, the bent over woman would have been religiously marginalized. People with such conditions were not even allowed in the temple at that time. So it's a bit surprising she was even inside the synagogue. And perhaps she would not have been there at all, except for the fact that Jesus was teaching that day. In the synagogue, she would have been seated near or at the very back of the room with other women who were not permitted to participate actively in worship, and others who were ill. Indeed, these people were not even supposed to speak or participate in worship. So when Jesus sees this woman and calls out to her while he is teaching, every eye in the place is transferred from him to her, from the very front and center to the very rear, from one of the most valued to the least valued among them. Jesus reinforced this shift by walking through the male worshipers and then into the area where the women were gathered in the back, laying his hands on her. Immediately, she stood up and began praising God. That is, she began worshiping out loud, something no woman was supposed to do. A woman who had been crippled for 18 years was now standing and praising God, all at the instigation of the guest rabbi of the day. The author of Luke doesn't actually say it, but any Jewish reader or anyone familiar with Jewish synagogue traditions would know that when the synagogue leader wasn't just mad about breaking a rule about not working on the Sabbath, that was the convenient law to pull out because everyone knew it, and he would not have to, he would seem to have some ground to stand on in interpreting in this way. But this was not about the Sabbath at all. It was about control. Not just about control within the service of the synagogue. This was about the control of the entire culture as he knew it. The synagogue leader was indignant because Jesus, the radical, had shown up and broken the caste system of the entire religious culture, a system that the synagogue leader benefited from at the expense of the woman and any others who had been suffering for years without any possibility even to ask for relief. Jesus wasn't just performing a miracle in healing the woman. He was taking on the establishment that was allowing her to stay entrapped in her suffering. In these three archetypes, we can get a better understanding of what Jesus intends for our Christian faith today. If we are honest with ourselves, and by that I mean if I am honest with myself, then we need to admit that it's hard not to live out our faith like the synagogue leader, that secretly we want to have those rules to follow. We want a faith where the lines are clearly laid out, and if we follow them, we know that we're going to be good. Unfortunately, that is not where Jesus wants us to be, and this scripture makes that clear. And so we hope that at least our faith looks somewhat like the healed woman, standing straight and lifting our praises to God. we want to focus on our healing, the idea that we come to God broken, but an encounter with God heals us and sets us free. Most of us can claim the praising woman as the one that we identify with most in the scripture, the one who has a faith that looks like ours. But there's a third option to think about, and that is how Jesus in this story can be a model for the life of faith that we are to have. Jesus shows us a way to walk in a radical faith. The miracle of this story is in the healing, but the power of this story is in the way Jesus challenges the establishment, the way he takes on the caste system that is keeping this woman from being healed. This is a story about freedom, but let's remember there are two points of freedom to consider. The simple lesson is that Jesus frees us from our burdens, from the things that weigh us down and bend us over. But do not miss the more challenging lesson that Jesus is freeing us from the institutions and systems that are keeping us in our brokenness. Jesus frees us from our inner demons, yes, but Jesus also frees us from the establishments that hold us down and keep us back. Jesus wants us to love and praise God with a freedom that comes from being lifted of the burden of both of these. That is a radical thought. This is a moment when he is really turning over the apple cart. He is at the beginning of the time when he starts to turn the world upside down, making the first last and the last first. And I tell you, the religious establishment didn't like it. The end of the scripture says the crowds were rejoicing, but that his opponents, the religious establishment, were put to shame. The biggest challenge in this scripture is a simple question for you today. What is holding you back? What are the burdens that you are carrying that weigh you down like the bent woman? Maybe it is an actual physical illness that we're struggling with. But it could also be those internal demons that weigh us down, addictions and obsessions that seize us. Can we allow that radical Christ to free us from these things? And what else is holding you back? What are the institutions that you and I, that we need to be freed from? What are the external systems that are working on us and keeping us down? It may be the stress within an important job, an old divorce that we are having trouble forgetting, or dare I even say it, maybe it's even the church that is keeping us weighed down and unable to praise and worship God. And perhaps the most challenging question is this. Are there moments when, like the synagogue leader, where we are the ones doing the holding back, where we are the ones keeping God's praise down? Whether we come to this morning with a physical ailment that bends and breaks us, or whether we come to this morning with the weight of oppressive and exploitive systems on our hearts, the message from the radical Christ for you today is this: stand straight, you are freed, go and praise God. Amen.